Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, we're going to do a bit of an update cast about what I'm trying and testing in my life. Now, this is going to include, I'm going to talk about going to see James Clear, who wrote Atomic Habits live, and a couple of things I learned from him. Two, I've been doing a lot of work around breathing. I've got a question to ask you that I think could have changed my life. It seems so simple, it's mindless. And I just want to just talk, shoot the breeze about a few other cool things that are happening. So let's dive into today's podcast. Okay, let's dive in. So it's been a pretty busy couple of weeks for me. So much happening. You know, the dyslexic life, we never create boredom. And when we create boredom, we create havoc to keep the world interesting. You know, it's kind of a bit of an ADHD, dyslexic trait I see. You know, the dyslexic mind kind of shows the million possibilities. And then the ADHD side kind of puts the energy behind trying to run into a bunch of fun and exciting topics. And so one of the things I did was I went along and saw James Clear speak. So maybe you've read his book or heard about it, Atomic Habits. It's a bestseller. It's all about how to develop and create habits. I've done a few podcasts on it before around how to change your environment to help you reach your habit goals. And, you know, I went along and saw him live. Now, I don't know about you, but my dyslexic mind is hilarious. I've read this book, I want to say once, maybe twice. When I say read, listen to it on Audible. And I'm sitting in the event, and the first part of the event is him doing a presentation basically about the book concepts. In essence, it was just the book, but in slightly different format. And if I'm honest, I got bored out of my brain because it's like my mind already knew all this stuff or had seen it before. So my brain's just like bored, bored, bored. And I'm just being dead honest here because, you know, I don't think I'm probably the only one who has this, who can struggle to see the same things twice or has to have such a big gap in between or has to have not have taken much in on the first round to really get it, if you know what I mean. And so for me, because he was just talking about the major principles, I was getting bored. Now, we got through that session and had a little break, and then he comes out and does a question and answer. And what I realized at that point is I really enjoy watching Q&A kind of speeches because they're asking good questions from someone who's got good ideas, but because he's having to answer them a little bit on the fly, you sometimes get a slightly different answer that's really interesting. And one of the things I really loved hearing from him was around the fact that, you know, he used to have a lot of self-doubt issues around his belief that he's actually, what he's brought to the table is unique. You know, he really worries about that a bit because he's, you know, he's quite conscious himself that majority of the work he's done is about refining and bringing together other people's research in a way people can understand. And so, you know, he said that, and he said, you know, I haven't actually brought massive amounts of ideas. I've just brought them together in a way people really enjoy. And that's broken through and unlocked. I love the phrase unlocked people's journey with the information. And I found that really profound from like a, I don't want to say a selfish point of view, but, you know, it was really, I've heard it, you know, when you've heard something a lot of times in different ways, but you have to kind of be in the right mode to absorb the learning. I kind of really felt that way with this, is that there for so long, even when I started The Truth About Dyslexia, you know, there's a part of me going, I want to be the person who breaks through and I only want to share stuff that I've fully created myself from the ground up. And, you know, that'll make me unique and special and make people want to listen to me. And, you know, over time, I've learned this lesson the long way that it is exactly what he said. It's about absorbing a lot of information from the outer world, applying my perspective and angle, how I see it in the words, and then, you know, giving that out to the world, and people who are connected with it will listen. And it was just really good to hear someone that has been so absolutely successful say, you know, that's all he did. You know, he came up with a concept, he gathered information and put it together in his own words. And, you know, considering it was a habits thing, that was the biggest takeaway I got, was about, you know, if you've got a voice and you like learning, is make sure you share it. So if there are people out there who, you know, want to talk on different topics, it's a great reminder that you just start. And it's not about you having to have come up with huge amounts of work, but it's about how your brain and how you and your personality can share it. So it was a really good pat on the back for me to do more with the truth about dyslexia, to realize I don't have to be an award-winning scientist. My style of speaking from the heart, what I've learned, what I'm passionate about, is the right way to do it. So that was really valuable, really enjoyed it. It's great to get out, like for me working from home, it's great to get out and go to those type of events because it can be very siloed, if that makes sense, when you work for yourself. So that was one big thing. The second massive thing this week, and I will do a full podcast on this, I just wanted to touch on it today, was around breath. Now, my wife Holly, I've spoken about her in different podcasts. She is a breathwork coach. She's done this thing called Alchemy of Breath to learn how to better use breath and et cetera. And I've done a little bit of work with her on it, just a small amount, you know, because it can be hard to actually listen to your partner or the person you're with. Now, I think I'm better at it than I've ever been, but that doesn't mean I'm a gold medal winning Olympic athlete at it. I'm probably more just, you know, more conscious than I've ever been, to not dismiss things that I didn't come up with. You know, it's a real common trait, right? Is that you kind of want to be the one to come up with things. You know, I see our little one say, I know a lot, even though she doesn't really, just because she thinks she does and she's not open to absorbing new information. And I think, you know, I've gotten a little bit better over the years, but, you know, it doesn't mean I listen to absolutely everything or take it in, or if it doesn't match the timing with me, it doesn't really work. So she's been talking about breath work for a while. She's doing some great stuff in it. And it took me coming across another podcast to open my eyes to the simple amazement of breath. And there was one thing they talked about around ADHD and breath and how they believe they'd solved ADHD to a point, or limited, and this again, take it with a pinch of salt, had limited the effects of ADHD by changing the way people breathed. Now, I was a bit skeptical, of that. And a lot of some of these, if I'm honest, some of the books I've listened to around this are a little airy-fairy, or the podcast, should I say. And it's a bit, probably, if I'm honest, a bit too spiritual for me. Like, I kind of get it to a point, but there's also a lot of questions that are left open. And so I listened to this interview with James Nestor about his book, Breath. And I'm currently going through the book, so I will do a podcast once I've absorbed it all and probably attempted at least to listen to it a couple of times. I'm really trying to get better at that, however much it bores me. That's why I've always got to do something when I do it. But the thing that, you know, what I wanted to bring to this podcast that I've been testing and what I heard from this is about how nose breathing versus mouth breathing. Now, did I take much notice of that? No. I've got a bigger mouth than a nose, so I always kind of thought, you know, hey, it's more about the amount of air coming in rather than how it's coming into your body. And so he goes into quite a bit of depth about how, you know, your nose is what was created to breathe with, not your mouth. Your mouth was your backup system to your nose, in simple terms, right? It's like technically you could eat through your nose, but you don't, right? It'd be pretty crazy to chug a straw through your nose. Like, it wouldn't work. It's kind of like a backup of a backup. Where what's happened in today's society is more and more of us are mouth breathers. And so that one question sat with me while I was listening. And I kind of clicked and said, wow, I'm a massive mouth breather. You know, I snore at night. I would say 80, 90% of my breathing would be mouth breath, you know, when I really thought about it, you know. And I was like, what kind of stories are in my head about that? And I'm sure there are heaps of deep embedded stories which made me think this is the right way to do it. But, you know, he goes into quite a lot of depth about the differences about how breathing through your mouth is much more of a breath if, like, you'd do it more if you were in fight or flight mode. Say someone's chasing you and you're breathing heavily, you may be breathing through your mouth. So what he was saying around ADHD, and they did a study, I think, in the 70s. There's not been a huge amount of studies on this from what I understand. But the breathing through the mouth actually increases your, and again, I'll get all this data, but it kind of increases your sympathetic, I want to say parasympathetic nervous system. It's one or the other. and can kind of lead to kind of anxiety and pressure and continued, you know, stress on your cortisol. And a lot of that comes from a variety of places, but breathing really has an impact on it. So when you breathe through your nose quite heavily, your body is in a calmer state naturally. It kind of believes you're not being chased by a tiger if you're breathing through your nose. And it's kind of a direct reset on your nervous system. And so if you get into the habit of training yourself to breathe through your nose, because it's a muscle like your throat, it's going to have a massive impact. And so I was like, this is interesting. And so, you know, I'm a skeptic. I naturally, I sometimes overtrust early, but a lot of the time I'm a touch skeptical at the same time. I'm like kind of like waiting to not see any results. But I noticed it twice. And it's like I sometimes find some of these tests I do, because I'm not a scientist, I'm not probably doing them to a great degree in that respect. So I don't always know if I trust the results. Like if I have a vitamin tablet, do I know if that's actually made an impact on my body? I don't know. So it can be tough in many cases. But with this one, so I started doing it at a football game. So I'm a goalkeeper and, you know, I usually breathe through my mouth. And so I decided to consciously breathe through my nose and see how it impacted my game. And so I was doing that, standing in goal, breathing through my nose, and I've never been more calm and collected playing football in my life. Like, I was just chill. Like, I you know, if anything, like, I was really calm coming out to clear the ball when it came to me. My teammates were scared of how calm I was and how I literally, you know, my timing was improved between me getting the ball. Was like, it was near perfect. You know, sadly we didn't win, but that was due to other reasons. But my gameplay was, I was amazed at how my mind was working. And so that was the first test I did. And then I've started breathing through the nose when I go on my morning walks and meditations. I'm trying to pick a couple of habits in the day where I can be conscious with it that repeats. So I need to start training myself. You can't go from mouth breather for life to nose breather in 10 seconds. It just doesn't happen. I wish it did. You know, how sad, like, the world takes time. But, you know, I've decided to make that a reality. And then also when I get into these stressful situations, breathe through my nose consciously for 3 or 4 minutes. And so I did that yesterday, which was a Monday. And, you know, I looked at what did I change in my diet or anything. I hadn't changed anything. It was just a completely normal day for me. Nothing, no med changes, no nothing. But I've never had more energy to 5 o'clock in my life. I just went straight through from, you know, when I kicked off in the morning, when I went for a walk at 6 a.m., all the way through to 5 o'clock, I was at my desk working. And I hadn't changed my ADHD meds, and they usually wear off, you know, about 2:33 in my case. I usually start to feel the drain of the day, but I got straight through it. And I hadn't changed my food. My food was the normal. Everything was pretty much on par. And the only thing I'd adjusted was this type of breathing in the morning, and I must have done it 4 or 5 times throughout the day, you know, when I was getting a little bit stressed with too much on. And I noticed this reaction. I'm kind of sitting there going, this has got to be a bit fake. So I'm kind of still skeptical, because it just seems too easy. You know, I'm always looking for that next pill or that next secret. But breathing, you know, made a massive impact. And it's not even like I was doing any special techniques. I'm just learning how, if you breathe through your left nostril, that's more, you know, you can block your right nostril. If you breathe through your left nostril, you're going to get more calm. And your right, if you breathe a lot more through your right, kind of increases your metabolism a little bit from what I'm hearing. And again, I've got a long way to go with learning this. I'll do a much better podcast on it in the future. But I just wanted to share that. And, you know, the question to ask yourself is, do you breathe through your mouth or your nose standardly? When you're doing it unconsciously, what do you notice? And like that one question, you know, I swear the biggest changes in my life come from one question, which builds awareness. So have a listen and have a think about that. And if you'd like me to do that breathing podcast, I might do that on Thursday. I'll see how I go and just talk through it. Because I'm you know, when you get into that moment and you go, this is like an unlock. I wish I'd been more conscious of 10, 20 years ago. But I'll do a bit more on the connection with ADHD as well and neurodiversity. But yeah, that's kind of really what I wanted to share today, just looking at the time of the pod. But those are two massive things for me, you know, and I think that's the key learning with anyone with dyslexia, neurodiversity, ADHD, is that we're always learning. We're always here to, you know, continue to grow. And that's what's enjoyable. You know, learn these new little techniques that make an impact. Some that you think you should have learned 20 years ago, and others that, you know, it's kind of like a kid in a candy shop learning something so basic, learning how to breathe, you know, could make an impact on my day. How crazy is that? So have a play. If you enjoy it, if it works for you, make sure, and if you're on Spotify, you can leave me a note or send me an email on the website. I'd love to hear from you. And we'll talk soon. I'll be back in a couple of days.